Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about relinquishing your rights and what it means, what your rights are, and what it means to relinquish them and how it relates to brokenness and dependence on God. We've been focusing recently on why we have to give up our rights. And we're going to get into very specifically what those rights are. But we want to narrow it down, really understand that there are two main reasons we must give up our rights. First, from our point of view, and the second is from God's perspective. We talked a lot last week about our point of view, what it means to give up our rights. Basically, it continues or makes practical the breaking process. When we give up our rights, specifically, there's that point in time that we specifically say, Lord, I'm giving you these rights, and we're going to go through that process a little later on in this series, maybe today, maybe later on in the series. We can point to a time when we have fully agreed with God about what our rights are and what they mean to us. When we do that, we are agreeing with Him about His authority in our lives. We have this idea that, again, it's about our exertion of our will, and our rights are very often, very much so, tied up with our will and our perception of our will, even though it translates as well to our mind and our emotions. But that if we can just understand something or do something or feel something in a particular way, we are pleasing God. And from our perspective, when we relinquish our rights, at the foundation is the concept that there is nothing we can do to deserve solely anything God is or has for us. That it is strictly a matter of receiving from God everything He has for us. Start to see the difference there, that even before we were a Christian and we were living under the law, we had this idea that if we could be good, we could please God. But what He has done by bringing us into His family, giving us a new spirit, making us a new creature that never existed before, He's proving to us that there was nothing we could do nothing we could feel, nothing we could believe, nothing we could do to deserve or be entitled to or have a right to, that it's all about simply receiving him, receiving everything he has for us. So when we relinquish our rights, we say, now moving forward, as a believer, as a Christian, I acknowledge that everything I have received, which is everything, eternal life, everything you need for life and godliness, you received 2,000 years ago when you were resurrected with Christ and reborn into God's family as a son of God. When that happened, you received the full character of God in your spirit, as a spirit. So relinquishing our rights is the acknowledgement from a soulical perspective. You already know this in your spirit, but from a soulical perspective, that there's nothing that your soul can do, let alone your body, to deserve or have a right to anything from God, from this world, from anywhere, that it is all simply received from him. Now, we've looked at many areas where we look at the different realms, the spiritual, the supernatural, and the natural, and we recognize that there are relationships and there are activities. For instance, if you work for someone at an agreed relationship, employer-employee, they pay you. It's not that you deserve it. It's you have a contract with that person, and it's an employee-employer contract, and they fulfill theirs, and you fulfill yours. But that doesn't extend to our relationship with God. Likewise, we try to get other Christians to do that as well. We have an expectation that if you are a Christian, this is how you will treat me. Or since I am a Christian, this is how I will treat you. And I'm sure you run into the problem that people have different expectations or different ideas about what a good Christian is in one particular area or another. This affects marriages tremendously. That the husband will have one idea of what a good marriage looks like, and the wife will have another. And most of their time is often spent on the power play over what that means. And that's just a real practical area where that needs to get straightened out ahead of time. It's always easier to straighten that out before you get married rather than after you're married. But with our relationship with God, there was nothing you could ever do to deserve what God has given you, new life, which is the whole point of him encapsulating himself into a man and being and interjecting himself on this earth so that he could deserve everything that he wanted to give us. And by our being born and brought into him and experiencing the crucifixion and the resurrection, we could then, through him, receive eternal life, knowing God, everything that God is in our spirit. So by relinquishing our rights. From our perspective, we say, going forward, spiritually speaking, my relationship with God is going to be a dependent relationship where I receive what God gives and just say thanks. We work at the projects God gives us because we have received, not because we desire to receive or are working to receive. It's because you have received everything. We work now because we are working for our own kingdom, which is God's kingdom. It's all ours. And just because we can't get our heads around that is no reason to say, well, it has to be my way. This is part of our problem with using analogies and illustrations. We go, okay, there's only one king in the kingdom. Well, that whole concept of king and kingdom is God's way of giving us something we can relate to. This is the whole, you know, the streets of gold, and my home has many mansions, and, you know, Jesus is the lamb and Israel is the chicken, and these are all ways of God relating to us in ways we can understand. It is not the sum total. And we don't use those to restrict how God is. I love how, in summing himself up, all he could say that we could understand was, I am. He is what he is. He is who he is. He does what he does. We're the ones who are going to have to change our understanding and our beliefs. And that only happens as we spend time with him, learn to depend on him, learn his ways, and are conformed to him, our body to our soul and our soul to our spirit. So relinquishing our rights from our perspective marks that day that from this day forward, my relationship is going to be based on depending on him and receiving what he gives, and that's it. And I no longer have rights to God's blessings, his moving when I pray. You know, basically all prayer is coercion, manipulation. We try to get God to do what we want him to do. And we tell him, this is what you should do because this is what's written in the book, or because this is what's best for me, or because your reputation is on the line. And so we try to get him to move for a reason rather than understanding. Any movement he does is because he loves us. And when we try to exert our rights, we are slamming the door on receiving what he wants to give us. Fortunately, he's patient and kind, and he knows that this is something we have to learn how to do. But it is important that we learn it. So, what about giving up our rights from God's perspective? Why do we have to give up our rights as God sees it? Because there can only be one Lord in our lives. He does not share his authority with anyone. So when we give up our rights, when we relinquish through knowledge, our rights, we are acknowledging that he alone sits on our throne. That God does not have a co-helper. And we've got a caller, so we'll take a quick call. Area code 602, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Yeah.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
To quick, just kind of say something. I know I was kind of being annoying, but see, there was one thing that I just don't agree with.
Okay.
Just one part, though. God does, I mean, God wants us to pray. I can see that, honestly, that God does want us to pray, but we pray on selfish.
Well, how familiar are you with what we've been talking about?
Well, I was actually listening at 21 minutes.
Okay. So, probably what I'd appreciate it if you could get yourself familiar by going through the podcast or emailing me. And we can go through, because one of the problems we all have, all of us, is what we mean by what we say. For instance, what you say by prayer and what I mean by prayer is going to be two different things. And that just plain old takes time to get to what that means.
Actually, we have the same idea of prayer. You just have a different take on it, if that makes any sense, because we both know that prayer is talking to the Lord, right? It's talking to the Lord. But see,
well, actually no. I don't consider prayer talking to the Lord.
Well, then how do we repent? It's talking to the Lord.
Well, there we go. That's part of the issue, is that we have done all the repenting we need to do 2,000 years ago.
But still, even
yeah.
In the New Testament, it says that they do repent.
Well, this is where I'd like you, because we're talking, we have a series going, and we're right in the middle of a particular topic.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. I'd be more than happy to talk to you about these other things one-on-one. And if you want to email me at dianewecanprepare.org, I'd be happy to get a conversation going with you. But if we want to talk about relinquishing our rights, if you have any questions about that, I'd be happy to talk to you about that.
Well, okay. Yeah, actually, I do.
Okay.
Because I did hear something that you said about, the rights that also I honestly disagree with. Because
have you listened to the whole series on relinquishing our rights and our practical Christianity?
Well, I've listened to what I need to interject on, if you will.
Well, actually, here's the thing, is that we've been working on this series and for quite some time and building, and to just come in and try to interject in disagreement or even agreement, you're not going to have the full story, because many of the things we talk about are real different. And so to try to recover some of the areas we've already covered, we're just not going to be able to do in a phone call. But what I'm going to do is let you go ahead and ask your question, but odds are I'm going to just refer you back to the previous podcast. So what's your question?
Okay. Well, you were talking about the difference between, like we were just having, the difference between being a good Christian and being a not-so-good Christian. See, the way
well,
that...
Well, actually I wasn't. I mean, but that's interesting that that's...
In a marriage.
Way with. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, the way both sides should see it is through the eyes of the Lord, or through what the Lord has given us through his book. So really, the difference shouldn't be, there should be no difference, and it should be gone through by it, if that makes any sense. But what I wanted to know is, how does that affect other people's daily lives in the way of the Lord, if I'm coming off correct, in the daily lives?
Well, let's go back to your thoughts about marriage. First of all, marriage is not as clear cut in the scriptures as people think, and probably at some point in time we'll go through a series on that as well. But even if it was crystal clear, two people coming at anything that's crystal clear are not going to come up with the same conclusions.
Well, of course.
That's not really what God intended.
Well,
and,
no, of course.
Right. So our goal here through this ministry is not to be as concerned about meeting external standards for our daily lives, how we behave in our daily lives, but dependence on God to know from Him how you're doing.
But, see, that doesn't make sense to me at all, depending on God.
Mm-hmm.
God does want you to have faith in Him, but depending on the Lord, it's kind of like abusing your best friend. Like, as you said, prayer is just asking, it's just saying, this is the way things should work. It's like telling your best friend that he's supposed to do this, this, and this to himself to make you happy.
I'd have to think about your perspective on that, what you might mean. And like I said, because we have a series going on, dependence on God is getting our life from Him and recognizing that as a spirit, you are already complete in Him, that you don't need to please Him or pray or receive anything, that in your spirit you've already fulfilled, you're already one with Him, again, in your spirit, that it's in our soul and finally in our body that we are being transformed and renewed, that the hindrances in our becoming one, spirit, soul, and body, are between our soul, what we believe, and our spirit, what is truth. So prayer, what most people think of, is still soulical. It's still something that non-Christians can do.
But it's something that Christians can do to find clarity in their lives. Praying after reading a scripture, because you might not know what it means, but you feel as if it pertains, God might show you exactly what you need to see.
The point being that through dependence, we go to Him first, and He's a person, and He speaks for Himself.
And he's a good parent.
He's a good God. And we're not a child anymore in our spirits. We are one with Him and in Him. So we're not looking.
But in our souls, we're still children.
Pardon me?
But in our minds and in our souls, as you said, wouldn't that make us still children? Because you said that we were transforming as people.
Well, again, it's, I prefer just not to use the whole idea of child and parent. Because in your soul, the way God made you in your soul, mind, will, and emotions, that's the way He wants you. What's actually going on is your flesh, your self-life, your desire to control your life and your desire to control others and to control God. That's what's being dealt with by God.
But isn't that still in your soul?
Yes.
Because, see, because your soul is connected directly through your flesh, but your spirit is your divine connection to God, where the Holy Spirit can come into you and tell your soul. But see,
well, and here's, and I hate to rush you off because I'd love to be able to continue this conversation with you. But because we've already covered so much of this material in this series, we're talking months ago, we've gone through the distinction between spirit, soul, and body, that your spirit is not a connection to God. It is a part of God, that everything, all the knowledge and understanding you need, you already have. You already have everything you need for life and godliness now. And that's what we are to be depending on. So your idea of talking to him and my idea of talking to him are two totally different concepts based on that you are now a spirit being. You have a soul and you live in a body. And
but if I might ask you, how do you communicate with God when it says the only way to communicate to him is through prayer?
Well, that's not what anything says. And this is where you want to go back and listen to the series on waiting on God and listening. And he cleans out your ears, and he reveals himself. It's all his responsibility. But our beliefs about that have to change. Because if we believe that the only way he will speak to us is through reading the Bible or on our terms, we shut him out from the way he truly wants to reveal himself.
But he reveals himself every day, as it says in the Bible.
And this is, again, what I'd like you to do is go back and check out the foundational material that we've been putting out there. I've also got some books, but otherwise just check out all the archives and you'll see how much foundational work we've been talking about when we say communicating with God, depending on God, and now we're to the point where we are relinquishing our right even to get information that we believe we need from God. Is that okay?
But see, we relinquish our right every time we pray if we bow down on our knees. That is a total sign of submission, even in the eyes of humans.
Okay, and we're not talking about submission.
But that's what he wants. He wants us to submit. As you've been saying constantly, he wants us to submit and to depend on him.
Okay, and those are two different things.
Submission is a part of, depending and submission almost, in a way, go hand in hand. Submitting means to completely give yourself over, submitting to God's will, relinquishing our rights, and depending on him for guidance. And as you're saying, through prayer, it's not the right way to go.
And these are all terms that we've hopefully established a foundation to talk about, that we are no longer submitting to God. We have submitted. You submitted fully 2,000 years ago. And
we submit fully as we accept his gift, isn't it? We accept his gift of life that he gives us through Jesus
Christ. Well, here's that, and here we come into the distinction between being submissive and being appreciative and simply receiving it. Not because of our kneeling or position or thoughts, but simply because that's now who we are. Because there's nothing you can do to submit. There's nothing you can say to get God to do what he wants to do in your life.
Well, but see, if you don't say, but if you don't believe it in your heart and soul, and that's pretty much telling God, if you don't tell God that you accept his free gift and appreciate his free gift,
he knows already.
You are no longer fit. But he does not, and he may know that, but he's still going to ask us on the day of judgment.
Well, there we get into a whole nother, does what we believe really line up with reality? Or is it because of this is what we've been taught and this is what we have come to understand? And
that's,
we are about to
really
run out of time. So I appreciate you calling in. And again, if you'd like to call some other time and discuss the actual topic with a foundation that we've been talking about, that would be great. Otherwise, get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. I'd love to continue this conversation. For the rest of us, we'll be picking this up next Monday. We will be continuing to talk about why we relinquish our rights. And always, again, you can contact me at wecanprepare.org. We'll be getting back together again tomorrow morning at 7:30. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.